Thank you, my friend, John Cecina. Well, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
I know it's been a while since I've been here. I've 1 week I wasn't feeling well. And a couple of weeks before that, we had the grandkids. We had them for 12 days. So we had our hands full, and we had some things planned that we were going to do, but they were all sick all week for 12 days. You know, one would get sick, then the next one would get sick. So, and they really wanted to come to church. They were really disappointed when I said, "Well, we can't go. You know, they're sick, and I don't want to spread germs at church." So, but they were really, really disappointed. They wanted to go. They all brought their church clothes and they were ready to come. So, it's a shame that they were sick. I know, I hope everybody's surviving the cold weather. It's been kind of brutal here at times. I know, I go to work in the middle of the night, and for those, I drive truck, and sometimes it's not even worth going out, you know, because equipment doesn't go, and it just takes, you want to hurry up and get in the truck where it's warm, but nothing seems to go right, it just, everything's stiff and nothing wants to work, so. But I went out this morning, and the last week, I guess, in this brutal cold weather, we've had about 20 lambs. So it seems like when the worst weather and the coldest weather, that's when they come. So, I think Kirk can understand that. Sometimes cows do that same thing, And I walked out this morning, and I got some cows, and it was cold, and they're just laying there chewing their cud. They got snow on their back, and they can. I got a place where they can go in the barn and get out of the weather, but they don't care. So, I guess they can take the cold better than take the heat. So I had my grandson. I had all four grandkids with me for 10 days, and a while ago, my wife and I bought my grandson a metal detector. And he's kind of a kid that likes stuff like that. He's got a kind of a scientific mind where, he's full of trivia, scientific trivia. You can ask him any question about bugs or animals, and he seems to know it. So I brought him this metal detector, and I brought it up with him. This is the first he's used it. So we got it out, and I said, let's go try it. So he wanted to know how it worked, and I wanted to know how it works. I never used one. So we went around, and we went in a barnyard, and, we found some junk, some old metal junk, But that thing would beep, you just kind of sweep back and forth, and the thing would beep when you metal. So he used the metal detector, and I was the shovel man, okay? He would find something, and I would dig it up. And so we did this for a little while, and I realized just down the road from us, they were putting in a gas pipeline. And where they put this pipeline in, according to the map, there was two houses that were there from the early 1700s. And so before they dug this pipe up, there was an archaeological crew there that was digging stuff up because I guess, in Pennsylvania, before they go through this area, they have to look at the map and find all houses. And they were digging by hand, and they had one of those things where it separates the dirt and stuff. And so they found a bunch of stuff. And in fact, they put it in a museum down in Harrisburg. And so I told my grandson, I said, man, that'd be a neat place to go. So we went over there. I know the fella, and he let us dig there a while. And we went over with the metal detector, and sure enough, thing beeped right away. And so we found a piece of tinfoil. Must have been from the guy's lunch when they were eating lunch there, Then we did it some more, but we did find some neat stuff. We found an old axe head, from the 1700s, and we found an old hoe, and we were looking for like musket balls and stuff like that, you know. But we found a piece of a harness for a horse, and my grandson was having a good time. He said, "Boy, Papa, this is like a treasure hunt," you know. And I'm saying, "Yeah, it's fun for you, and I'm doing all the digging here, you know." So I was digging all this stuff up, but we had a good time. We found a bunch of stuff, but you know, as I was digging in this dirt, I was, and he said a treasure hunt. You know, I thought about a scripture, and all I could think the scripture was, search out and seek. And so I came home and I looked it up, and it was in Ecclesiastes 7, in Ecclesiastes verse 7, chapter 7, verse 25. I turned my heart to know and to search out and seek wisdom and the scheme of things. That's what I like to talk about today, brethren, is wisdom, true wisdom, godly wisdom. In Psalms 111, verse 10, beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, a good understanding of all they that do his commandments. You know, the English word wisdom is derived from an old Anglo-Saxon word meaning to see. Hence the origin of the word or the phrase, I see. When one understands something, true wisdom is a moral quality. Not nearly a measure of intelligence. There are some very intelligent people who know some intelligent things. While conversely, there are some people of lesser intellectual ability who have wisdom that is superior to people with supposedly greater intelligence. You know, I work with some guys that, they think they're smart. You know, I call them, they think they're smarter than the average bear. You know, sometimes they think they get over on somebody, but, you know, you can kind of see right through those things. With the beginning of wisdom, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding, have all they do his commandments, will come more wisdom. Wisdom begins with living according to what God says is right. You know, while I had the grandkids and were homesick, we ended up playing a lot of board games. So one day we were playing Monopoly, and my six-year-old wanted to play Monopoly. She had no idea how to play the thing, so, but she wanted to play, so we let her play. And so she was going around the board, and she was gathering all these good properties up, you know. And so it came my turn, and I wanted to buy some other property. I asked her, I said, Kira, I said, will you sell me some of your properties there? She goes, nope. I said, I'll give you $100. Nope. I said, I'll give you $500. No way, she says. I was up to $900, and I'm saying, please sell me this stuff. Nope. And she was adamant about it. She wasn't going to sell these properties. So it went around the board again, and it went to my other granddaughter, and she wanted the same properties. And she says to her, she says, I'll give you $100. And I'm thinking, $100, she won't go for that. And she says, I'll give you $100 plus a cookie. And she said, okay, I'll take it. So, you know, I guess my point of this is, you know, you got to be wise sometimes. You got to think like a six-year-old. Okay, wisdom comes in play there, and my granddaughter was being wise. And so she knew how to play on her. You know, Proverbs 16:23, the heart of a wise man makes his speech judicious and adds persuasiveness to his lips. You know, that pertains to a friend of mine. Well, I guess he's a friend of mine, but he's my boss. I've worked with him for over 25 years, and he's been a good friend for 25 years. and he's my fleet manager. And I've worked with several fleet managers over the years, and they range from not caring to trying to make themselves a name of the company, and one who was a bully. He would try to bully you into everything. And this fellow I work with, he's kind of a smart and a funny guy, but uses wisdom in dealing with people. And we have about 28 drivers, and we got about 28 different personalities. He has a way of getting people to do things they really don't want to do. Like driving somewhere, and some guys don't want to go here, and some guys don't want to be. But he has a way of talking to put a positive spin on things to get guys to do things they really want to go, and by the end of it, they're glad to do it. And he has this personality where he kind of accentuates the positive, and he's a wise guy too. So he's wise and he's a wise guy, but he has a way of dealing with people, a wise way of dealing with people, and I'd really admire that from him. I also dispatch part time. And, I see both sides of management and drivers. And, I could see the balance there. But, you talk to drivers and they've got one opinion and the management has the other opinion. But I always thought we should have these guys come in the office for like a day or two and just see what goes on here. And you can see both sides of what goes on. And my boss tries to clarify that. And he tries to, use a balance to some of these guys. And he shows a lot of restraint. Sometimes I just want to strangle some of these guys, because, they just don't get it. Proverbs 9, chapter 9, verse 9. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will yet be wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. I meant to say this before I started this sermon that originally, I thought it was a sermon. I looked at the sermonette. I originally looked at the schedule, and I thought it was a sermonette. So please forgive me if I run short here. I give Kirk plenty of time. We all have people in our lives. We seem wise. I've got this guy. I don't really work with him, but he's another truck driver, and he works for another outfit that does basically the same thing I do. And I call him, he's like a hero to me. I've known him for like 25 years. And he's a special guy. And he's a real nice guy. Literally a nice guy because his last name is Nice. So he's a good guy. And, over the years, I've come to know him well. And he goes to the Bronx a lot where I go, and he go to Bronx where nobody likes anybody, but it seems like they all like him. Wherever he goes, he's got friends, and but I consider him a wise man, and I look to up to guys like that, and I look over the years, I've known Josh Cina for a while. I hate to put him on the spot here, but I asked him before I came up here, be all right to talk about him. And I've known John for a long time, and I notice when he prays, okay, when he prays up here, he gives a prayer. He always prays about comfort people who have lost loved ones. And he knows that from experience. Okay? You know, we've both lost children, even Joe Gray talked. And it opens up a different dimension in your mind. And so we've talked over the years, and you know, and I know you've done a lot of things for other people. And I always said, when I want to grow up, I want to be like John, you know. So I hate to put him on a spot, but I think, you know, praise is due there. So in Ephesians 5, if you turn to Ephesians verse 5, and we'll start in verse 15. I'll read that to you. Ephesians 5, I know it's back here somewhere. Ephesians 5, 15 and 16. See then, as ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. You know, when we had the grandkids there, I use them as an example because, you know, they were around for 12 days, and I've got a lot of memories and good times with them. But Judy's always trying to expand the kids' horizon. You know, I'm the same way. I get tired of kids watching videos, and I get tired of kids playing on their phone and watching, playing on computer, you know, computer games. So she tries to expand the horizon. So we started a thing with bird watching. And she bought them a little book, birds, and the songs they sing, and a little pair of binoculars, and a little camera and a notebook. And what we're supposed to do is go out and find birds, okay, take pictures of them, and see who can see the most birds. And the kids were really excited about it. And it opened up, you know, it opened up their minds to what goes on outside. You know, now when they go outside, they're always looking for birds. You know, before they would just kind of walk or driving in the car or trying to sleep. But now, so, you know, we can open up our minds and kids' minds with stuff like that. We can learn a lot from nature about the animal world. You know, Solomon talks about this in Proverbs. If you turn to Proverbs, verse 30. And chapter 30 and verse 24. We'll start in verse 24. Proverbs 30, verse 24. Solomon talks about the animals and that wise, and they are wise. Verse 30, chapter 30, verse 24. There are four things which are little upon the earth, but they are exceeding wise. The ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their meat in the summer. The conies are but a feeble folk, yet they make their houses in the rocks. And I wonder what a coney is. I guess it's like kind of like a mountain mouse, a mountain mice. The locusts have no king, yet they go forth of all them by bands. The locusts, the unity. Verse 20. Where was I? 28. Okay. The spider take hold with her hands and in his king's palaces, as in his king's palaces. So the spider is known for tenacity. You know, we can learn a lot about animals. You know, I have a bunch of animals and I learn a lot about things, and it kind of put things in a different perspective when you're dealing with animals. You know, I've got sheep, and sometimes they're the world's dumbest animals in the world. And I've seen where, you know, I've probably told you this before, but they're like wild women. You know, they're like wild and, you know, bug-eyed and you know, can't get near them. And you think, you know, they're bred, and once they have a lamb, it's going to be crazy. But it's amazing how the instinct kicks in when they have a lamb. They calm right down, and the whole focus is on that lamb. And it reminds me how God loves us, just like that lamb, you know, as Jesus Christ. But it just goes to show you that the animal kingdom, and how you can learn just from wild animals and sheep. And there's plenty more examples. You know, are we walking in the walk in wisdom? Are we talking the talk in wisdom? Are we truly seeking wisdom? You know, what I like to do is read some, I printed out different things. It's 15 popular verses about wisdom. And what I like to do is go through these things. And I thought I brought my glasses. Yes, I did. You got a kind of a small print. But I like to just go up, you know, you could write these down or just listen to them. They're pretty profound. The first one is Proverbs 3:7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fools despise wisdom and instruction. Proverbs 13:10. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Proverbs 14:8. Though presumption comes through not strife, but with those who receive counsel in wisdom. The wisdom of a prudent is to understand his way, but the folly of fools is deceit. Proverbs 15:31. The ear that heareth reproof of life abideth among the wise. Proverbs 29:11. Listen to good counsel and accept discipline, that you may be wise the rest of your days. Just a few more here. I like reading these things. I was reading them several times. Proverbs 29:15. A fool always loses his temper, but a wise man holds it back. Psalm 37:30. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child who gets his own way brings shame to his mother. Psalms 51:6. The mouth of the righteous utters wisdom, and in his tongue speaks justice. Just a few more. James 15. Behold, thou dost desire truth in the innermost being, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me know wisdom. James 3:7. But if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God, who gives to all men generously without reproach, and it will be given to him. Just one more. 1 Corinthians 1:25. But the wisdom from above is pure and peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy, good fruits, and unwavering, without hypocrisy. You know, I asked you before, brother, are we walking the walk or are we talking the talk? Are we walking in wisdom? Ephesians 5, verse 15 and 16. Look carefully how when you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Brother, are we making the best of our time? You know, time really, it seems like the older we get, the faster time goes. Are we making the best of that time? In Galatians 3, chapter 3, and verse 1, you don't have to turn it. O foolish Galatians, who have watched you, it was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. Let me ask you only this. Did you receive the Spirit by the work of the law or by hearing it with faith? Are you so foolish, having begun by the Spirit, now you being perfected by the flesh? You know, are we talking in wisdom? In Proverbs 16:23, the heart of the wise man makes his speech judicious and adds persuasiveness to his lips. You know, and the opposite of that, Proverbs 18:7, a fool's mouth is his ruin, and his lips are a snare to his soul. So, brethren, are we, you know, as I began this sermonette, I guess, are we looking for wisdom? Are we searching for wisdom, brethren? Just like with that metal detector. It's something wisdom. It's something you have to look for. It's not something you're going to wake up with. It's something you really have to look for. You really have to go out and you got to hear that thing beep. Not only beep, you know, yeah, there's wisdom, but, you know, you got to dig for it. You got to dig these things up. You got to dig for that wisdom. It takes a lot of work, but it's worth it at the end. And what I like to conclude with is in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 28 to 31, and Christ is our true source of wisdom. God shows what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. And because of him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption. So that as is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord.